Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister.
Thank you, Ray. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this opportunity that we get to come before you this morning. And so, Father, as we prepare to be encouraged by your word, to be transformed by your word this morning. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that is going to speak to each and every one of us right where we are. We ask these things in Jesus' mighty and wonderful name. Amen. Okay, so we're continuing in our series this morning called Set Apart. Okay, we're continuing this. And so last week, our message was about holiness restored. And we looked at the Jewish sacrificial system that was given to Moses and Aaron in the Old Testament. That there were some problems and there were some promises with this specific system, this sacrificial system. Now, the problem was, one of the first problems that I highlighted was that the priests there was a finiteness to the priests, right? In terms of like, they died. Priests died, right? They were temporary. And so they served their time, and then another priest would need to be brought in. And then another priest would need to be brought in. And so, and secondly, priests failed. There was a fallenness to these priests. They were sinners, just like us. We used to be sinners. Because we, as we heard last week, before that these priests could make these sacrifices or give these offerings, they had to give an offering or sacrifice for themselves before they would do it for the people, right? And so then we looked at the problem with lambs. Now, similarly to the priests, the lambs died after a sacrifice, right? And so you would need more lambs. You would need more bulls, more goats, whatever it is. You need more of them for every time, because you would need one to if you committed a sin or if you came to before God and you had to give an offering, you needed more. And so the issue is it would be unsustainable, right? You need to have more and more lambs, more and more goats, more and more bulls. And so it'll be unsustainable. And then we looked at the promise of Jesus. And that was, he was the better priest. Jesus was the better priest. Jesus did not sin. And secondly, he died once and then he rose again. And so there's no need of any other priest after Jesus. He is the final and forever priest. The eternal high priest. So there's no need for another priest because Jesus is our continuous and eternal high priest. He set himself apart as the better and forever high priest. Now the promise for us is that even though every high priest in human history has sinned and died, Jesus lives forever as this sinless priest making intercession for us. Think about that. Jesus is praying for you and for me. That's how important we are to him as a high priest. He was the perfect sacrifice who died and rose again, satisfying the problem of sin and death once and for all. Through Jesus, God forgave our sins and restored our purpose as humans to rule and serve alongside God as his kings and his priests. And so last week we heard that we are priests as well. When we're praying for someone, we're taking on that role of a priestly action. We're praying for someone. When we're helping someone understand something from God's word and teaching them, we're taking on that responsibility, that action of a priest in that moment. And so it's not just on me or Pastor JR as pastors to do that. You have that gift within you. It is a responsibility that God has given to each and every one of us as well. We are his priests. And so through Jesus, God forgave our sins and restored our purpose as humans to rule and serve alongside God as his kings and high priests. That was holiness restored. And so in our passage today, we're looking at Paul's letter to the Colossians. Thank you, Ray, for reading that. And so, thank you. So the next slide, please, Maya. So Colossians is a little was a church that was in a town called Colossae, and it's in modern day Turkey. Okay, so here's Colossae. This area here, this is modern day Turkey. You see Rome on the other side over there. Okay, and so the thing is, Paul'd never been to Colossae. He never seen the people, the church in Colossians. It was started by one of Paul's colleagues by the name of Epaphras. Okay? Epaphras. And so this guy, he visited Paul in Rome. Because Paul, at that time, Paul was under house arrest in Rome. So he was serving a prison sentence in Rome at this time. And so this guy goes there, visits Paul, and he gives him an update on what's happening with the church in Colossae. And so his report to Paul was that, yeah, everything's going well. It's going well. But the church is under some cultural pressures. Okay? The church is under some cultural pressures. And some of them are starting to turn away from Jesus. And so that is why Paul is writing this letter to the church in Colossae, is to encourage them to firstly address these issues, and then, you know, the issues that they're struggling with, and then to challenge them to a greater devotion to Jesus. And so this church had initially responded with great faith to the gospel. There was real excitement when they first gave their hearts to Jesus and accepted him as their Lord and Savior. And so they had tasted the sweetness of reconciliation. They had tasted the sweetness of being welcomed in by a Savior in Jesus. But now they found themselves struggling to move forward, to grow in their faith, because of the opinions of culture, because of the things that were happening around them in the life that was going on around them. And so like these believers, we too, we ourselves, we live in this world that is being saturated with alternate ideas, distractions, things that bombard us, that are tempting us to stray away from the path of following Jesus. And so this is happening today, even in many churches, where believers are struggling with growing in their faith. And so Paul, in the midst of life's challenges, urges us to focus on Jesus. He's encouraging us, focus on Jesus. Jesus, who's greater than anything else. Instead of getting caught up in what was happening around them, you know, the things that was going on, he was encouraging them to focus on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so Paul's reminding us to keep our eyes on Jesus and what he has done, what Jesus has done. Jesus is the one who brings us back to God, who enables us to be reconnected back to God. And so as we walk through our passage today, I pray that our hearts will be stirred afresh this morning. That this morning that we would discover something new about the surpassing greatness of our great Savior Jesus this morning. Amen? And so the title of my message this morning is Holiness Lived. Okay? This is the title of my message. And so I want you to imagine a family. Imagine a family that is being torn apart by deception, by dysfunction, by abuse, whether physical, emotional, verbal, by a lack of leadership, by brokenness, by hurt, by a loss of trust, even rejection. In a situation like this, where negative behaviors are happening. It can make the family environment feel like uncertain, even unsafe at times, right? People might not trust or respect one another in those sorts of environments. And so this could be the environment of many of our families in our community. Maybe it could be the environment in some of our own families in certain times, right? Because if you think about it, sometimes these behaviors or these attitudes can be flared up or can be, initiated by or ignited by something that happens or something that's said, right? And then all of a sudden, you see someone's got an anger issue. Someone has a substance issue. Someone has some sort of addiction. In our passage today, it starts off by reminding us of who we once were. In the verse here, in verse 21, "And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds." You who once were. This is like a timestamp, right? This is saying that this was true for a time. This happened in the past, right? You who once were. And so there's this time that we lived in a state of alienation. There's this time that we lived in this place of separation and disconnectedness, and we were hostile towards God because of our sinful nature, because of our actions, because of our thoughts. Sin cannot exist where holiness is alive and thriving. Sin and holiness cannot mix. Sin, since the fall in Genesis 3, sin's consequences have shown up in everyone's life. Scripture tells us, right? It tells us of the consequences of sin, and it shows us through the various characters that we read about in the Bible. We see how this downward spiral of humanity because of sin. Now, if we stay in Genesis 3 and we go to the next chapter, in chapter 4, we read the story of Cain and Abel. And Cain and Abel, there's this incident where they bring their offerings to God. And one was accepted and one was not. And so because of that, one guy got angry. Cain got angry because his offering wasn't looked upon with favor from God. Because it was like God hadn't accepted his offering that he brought him. But he accepted Abel's one. And so God knew that something was stirring in Cain. And God saw this coming. And so God warns Cain, and I like what the Message translation says in Genesis 4:6-7. It says this: "Why this tantrum? Why the sulking?" Doesn't this sound like a really healthy parent giving their kids? Why the tantrum? Why the sulking? Right? If you do well, won't you be accepted? And if you don't do well, sin is lying in wait for you. Sin. Ready to pounce. It's out to get you. You've got to master it. There was a time that we were alienated and hostile towards God. And this was because of sin. Sin that is waiting. Sin that is crouching at our door, ready to pounce on us. And in the same way today, God is warning us. He's telling us, why are we having a tantrum? Why are we sulking? Why are you angry? Why do you treat the people that you supposedly, love and honor? Why do you treat them with such disregard? With such hatred? It's because we were at one point alienated. We were separated from God. We were disconnected from Him. And so we did evil things. We would say discouraging things. And we would literally kill people with our gestures and our words, right? Because of the sin within us. The sin that God was talking to Cain about that is ready to pounce on you. And then we saw that Cain killed his brother Abel. So in verse 22, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. Once we were alienated, separated from God, but now we are reconciled through Christ's work. Through the work of his death and his resurrection. The work through his body. This is a powerful transition, right? When you think of it. The state of being one status, we're in this one status of being separated from God. We're being alienated. And now we get this new status of now we're reconciled with God through Jesus. Jesus is that connection. So what does reconciliation mean? To reconcile with someone is to restore or rebuild that relationship, right? And so when reconciliation happens, there are these changes that happen in our nature. You know, what makes us uniquely us. And changes also in our status and who we identify with. We're no longer identified, you know, with me, myself, and I, but it's through Jesus now. And so imagine going from being totally against God, acting and thinking in ways that don't align with God's goodness or God's character, God's good character, to being a friend with Him. This is the journey that all of us will have to choose to walk through, right? We're going to come to a point in our lives where we will have a choice to make. Because it doesn't just happen, you know? You don't just come to church and then all of a sudden you become a Christian. No, it's like you saying that, you know, you go sit at McDonald's and you become a hamburger. No, it doesn't happen. You got to make a choice. You got to make a choice to go up there and buy that hamburger and then consume the hamburger. You got to make a choice in here too. If you're going to follow God, then you have to make that choice to invite Jesus into your life. So if you're sitting here today and you have not made that decision to follow Jesus, I'll give you an opportunity later on today to make that choice. There was a time in our lives that we did not know God, that we were against God and we were living outside of God's plans. Then for some of us here, we heard or met someone that presented the gospel to us, right? And told us about the gospel. And they told us about what Jesus has done and how we can be reconciled back to the Father through Jesus' death, life, and resurrection. This is the essence of the gospel. And if we don't respond to that, then we're just living our own lives at the moment. We're just going through what we think is best. We haven't arrived at that point yet of making that choice. But sometimes I think that we can think that, I've messed things up too much. God can't reach me now. I have to do stuff myself to get closer to God. Okay? So we think we have to continue to work at it ourselves, right? Do things. We do good works. We be nice to people, right? We say we'll do religion. Yeah, I'll come to church, but I won't do this. I won't make a commitment. But I'm here, right? I'm here. I'll just do ritual. I'll just look like I'm one of yous. But my heart is not, right? So we're doing stuff. We're trying to do it ourselves. We're trying to, you know, initiate things because we think that by doing this, we're getting closer to God. But Jesus already did it. Jesus has already done it. There's nothing more that you and I can do to get closer to God. Jesus has already fulfilled it. He's made it available for us. All we need to do is make a choice. We need to choose Him. Jesus' final words on the cross was, "It is finished. It is finished." Paul in Romans 3, verses 21 to 24, explains that righteousness, or being in right standing with God, is not achieved through following the law or by doing things, you know, in our own efforts, but it's through faith in Jesus Christ. So even though we're covered in all these, in all this sin and all this stuff that we've done wrong, God still wants to be close to us. God still wants to be close to you. He's so holy, our God, and we're so not holy. But He made a way to bridge that gap. And that bridge is Jesus. Jesus came to this earth. He lived the perfect life. And then He took the punishment for all our sins, all our mistakes, by dying on that cross. Because of Jesus, God sees us differently. Because of Jesus, God sees us as forgiven. God sees us as clean. God sees us as holy. God sees us as righteous. Because He's looking at us through Jesus. Jesus alone makes it possible for us to be reconnected back with God. It's all because of His love and His sacrifice. And if we continue in verse 22, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. In order to be presented to God, it conveys this sense of closeness, right? God brings us close to Him. You know, if I want to present you with a gift or something, I got to be close to you, right? I got to be close to you to give that to you. Presenting ourselves to God. There was this time when being covered in sin and getting close to God's holiness was very dangerous. To the point that you could even lose your life. That's how serious it was. In the Old Testament, when people brought sacrifices to God, they had to be completely spotless. These lambs, these goats, whatever it is, the bulls that they brought to them, they had to be spotless and perfect. That's what holy and without blemish means, that the sacrifice is absolutely without fault. And Jesus is absolutely without fault. The idea of being above reproach means that, you know, that you can't be accused of doing anything wrong. You can't be accused of that. So, You have integrity. You have humility. You're a person of truth. You're a person of honor. You're a person of respect. And you're seen as this person of high standard. And so if you wanted to get close to God without dying, you had to be holy and without blemish. And it's not easy to live like that. Because we see that in the people of Israel. They tried it. They had a long time to try and figure this law out and live it out, but it was impossible. But thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Jesus makes it possible for us to come close to God again. He changed everything. Even though we're not perfect, we can still get close to God without being afraid, without worrying if we're going to be, you know, if we're going to die today, right? He doesn't judge us like before. When we come with Him through Jesus, all our sins, all our mistakes are upon Jesus. Because of what Jesus did for us, we can now approach God knowing that He welcomes us with open arms. No matter what has happened in the past, it's all because of His love and sacrifice for us. Now, next thing is this, continuing in the faith. Continuing in the faith. Our ongoing restoration and renewal is found in having continued faith in Christ Jesus. In verse 23, it says, if indeed you continue in the faith, everyone say continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. If we continue in the faith, this is implying that we're not being forced into it. This is a decision that we have to make. It's a choice that we get to make. If we do this, if we choose to continue in the faith, this word continue is this Greek word epimeno, right? And it means that I remain in, I will persist in, right? And so if I will persist in the faith, I will remain in the faith, I will fight to stay in the faith, is what this is talking about here. And so we aren't being swayed by the agendas, the opinions, the emotions of our society, right? We aren't being pulled this way because stuff's happening in and around us. But we're firmly seated, we're firmly standing in God's word. And then we're looking through that lens at what's happening around us. But it's when we move out of our emotions, that's what can get us into trouble, right? Like when we're driving in the car and our emotions get the better of us when someone just cuts in front of us. And our emotion there's, right? But what would Jesus do? We don't know the situation they're going through. Maybe they're in a rush to get somewhere, right? We can't just assume that we know that person in the car. We just saw that car. We don't know that person. So we just, Lord, bless them. Watch over them. So we aren't being swayed about what's happening around us. We're firmly fixed on God's word. His word of truth has deep roots into our character and into our nature. And so this changes the way we live our lives. We live differently. There is this deep conviction in us to not be confused or shaken from the hope of the gospel that we first heard. Because sometimes when we hear God at the beginning, when it gets further down the track, it sort of gets hard to remember what it was like back there. Unless we're constantly reminding ourselves, right, about that first love that we first had. Reminding ourselves what it was like to be around, to feel the presence of God, to feel God's embrace around us when we're going through things. We forget that because life happens. We're walking through stuff. Work challenges, relationship challenges, family challenges, money challenges, whatever it is that makes up our life, all this stuff is constantly bombarding us. But if we remind ourselves what it was like, that first love that we had with Jesus, hopefully remind us that God has His hand upon your life. God has His hand on you. He is with you. He will walk with you through this. Sometimes He may even carry you, right? Like what Jerry did for Chris, drag him along, right? Sometimes I think we need to be dragged along in the right direction. Come on, let's go, right? And how do we respond to this? How do we respond to this? How do we respond to this opportunity that's being offered to us? We respond in faith. We respond in faith by positioning ourselves, by posturing ourselves in environments that will cause us to grow in our faith. Within a community that enables a steadfastness. Ooh, Holy Spirit, come on through. Come on through. Okay. Steadfastness and stability to flourish and thrive in our faith journey. Now, there are three practical aspects that I want to encourage us today, okay? We're nearly home. Three things, okay? So the first one is this. We respond in faith to the message of Christ. Colossians 3:16, right? And so it says here, Colossians 3:16, the message of Christ, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. Everyone say richly. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And so the importance of, this is here is highlighting the importance of learning and growing in God's Word, right? Learning and growing in God's Word. This is our spiritual education. Our spiritual education. Okay, for us older ones who think we're finished school, nah, when we come to Jesus, we start school again, bruh. We start school again. And we're learning from God's Word this time. We got a different textbook, but this is where we get to learn our spiritual, how to walk out the spiritual life. And it's through His Word, right? And so, okay, you know, I love you guys, right? I love you all, right? Can I be real? Can we just walk through a couple of things? Okay, I got some questions for you. Okay? Now, if we call ourselves a follower of Jesus, when was the last time you opened up your Word and read your Bible? Okay? Maybe you're on the New Year's resolution buzz and you're like, nah, I read it yesterday, Pastor. I'm good. I'll ask you again next month and see how good it is. Right? What about, when was the last time that you worshiped God in your own home unashamedly? Right? When did you sing to God with gratitude? Right? Because I want to challenge us, right? Being here is good, and what we do here is good, but it won't sustain us for the whole week. That's why worship, reading God's Word, right? Being around community is things that you can continue to do during the week. Because trust me, we need encouragement on Monday. We need worship on Tuesday. We need encouragement on Wednesday. We need encouragement on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We need encouragement every single day of the week. And if we're not, fostering, if we're not developing our relationship with God during the week, we come here and we're starving when we walk through the door. We're like, oh, please, God, help me. Well, what have you been doing with Monday to Saturday? How have you, yourself, open up God's Word and let it wash over you. Let it talk to you. Let it be a mirror to you. How is that happening during the week? I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to myself as well. How are we doing this? I'm telling you, we can't rely on just Sunday, whoever's up here preaching. We can't rely on this. You got to take responsibility for it yourself. And if we're in this place of wondering, why haven't I grown, God? It doesn't work, God. You can't be real, God. Well, when was the last time you opened the Word and tried to discover God, tried to know God more? Do you just open it when the words come up on here? Or are you reading it as you're sitting in the train? Or you're on the bus? Or you're on your break at work? You open up your app and you just read. Or you're listening to worship songs, letting it transform your mind. How does that look like for us? We're right. I love you guys. When was the last time that you checked your character against Jesus' character? Right? Because isn't our desire to become more and more like Christ and not like the world? When was the last time we held a mirror up to ourselves and said, do I look like Jesus? And I'm not meaning physically. I'm meaning in my character, in my decision making, in the way that I talk to people, in the way that I treat people, in the way that I walk every single day. Do I look like Jesus? And you know the hard thing about when we ask that question, oh, do I look like Jesus? Well, do I know what Jesus looked like? That's the step before. We were reading about Him and we're discovering about Him. So you know, we can't rely on stuff we learned 10, 20, 30 years ago. We've got to remind ourselves of what Jesus looks like today, because the Word of God is alive and speaking to us today. This week, we had our first Logan prayer and worship night. Man, yes, give God a hand. Man, it was awesome. It was so good. It was so encouraging, right? Seeing, like for me, seeing our people hungry for God. This is you making that choice to turn up here and say, yes, I want to know more about this, God. I want to hear from you in this place. And so we're going to be doing this once a month. Okay, once a month. So we'll do this again in February. What month are we in? Oh my gosh, my old age. March. Thank you, Pastor JR. See, that's why I have Pastor JR. He used to remind me because of my old age, you know. Yeah. And so here's an opportunity for us to get the message of Christ in us. This is one environment for that to happen. Second thing is we respond in faith by being part of community, right? Hebrews 10:24 says this, 24-25, and let us consider how we may spur one another on. Everyone say, spur one another on. Toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. Everyone say, encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. The importance of regular fellowship. Regular fellowship and encouragement above the believers in our community. And this goes back to what I said before earlier, right? If you're just relying on this to be the thing that will sustain you throughout the week, you're making it hard on yourself. You're making it hard for yourself. We have stuff that happens during the week. We have life groups. We have silverbacks. You know, there are all these different environments for you to be able to be around community, to be able to encourage someone. Gathering together regularly allows for mutual support and accountability, right? We get to then, you know, speak into each other's lives. We get to encourage one another. We get to walk with each other through stuff in our lives, the things that we're walking through, right? So there's such a massive blessing to being part of a spiritual family and a community. And so here's my question for you. What communities are you part of? What communities are you part of? Are you part of a sports team? Are you part of a gym? Maybe you're part of a club. Maybe you're a book reading club. Whatever. I don't know. But, you know, how are you walking out your faith in that community, right? I'm sure all of you will know Silverbacks, right? This, like for me, I don't like fitness, okay? But I know it's good for me. So I drag my, you know, get there, Henry, get there. But like for me, this is an opportunity for us to connect with our community, right? This is our opportunity to be around it. You don't have to be an ultra athlete. Okay? If you walk into our Silverback session and you're an ultra athlete, I'm going to hook you up with Ray, make you partner up with Ray. Okay? But we don't have to be top of the game in this fitness stuff. Okay? Come as you are. You turn up there and you do what you can. But it's about being in this environment of hearing encouragement from each other, of cheering each other along on this physical, you know, on this health journey part. And that's good. But then there's also the spiritual side as well, right? When we come around community like this, that we get to encourage one another, right? What I'm doing to you today, when we preach the word on Sundays, we're equipping you, we're empowering you, we're giving you encouragement to go back out there into the communities that you belong to and be that light in those communities and encourage the people in those spaces, right? We cannot go out there into every single place that you are. There are students in here. We're too old to be in school. Okay, so you young people, that's your opportunity to be that light in your school, right? There are tertiary students in here. There are people, we all work in different places, right? Different workplaces, even at home. Our single moms, our parents that are at home, that's your community there. How are you building and fostering that environment that in a way that is encouraging and is filling your spirit in there? Right? Is that all right? That's it. Last one. Okay, last one. We respond in faith by sharing our gifts and talents. Romans 12, verses 6 to 8. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, I know people who are good at serving. Serve them well. If you are a teacher, I know teachers in here. Teach well. If your gift is to encourage, yes, there are people that encourage very well in here as well. Be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. There are generous people in here. If God has given you the leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. We're leaders. There are leaders in here. Whether you're leaders in your organizations, in your schools, but there is a responsibility on you to lead, to be an example for those that are following behind you. God has given each and every one of us unique gifts and talents to be used for His honor. You are all talented people in your own unique way. Don't compare yourself to your husband or your wife or the person that you see on social media. You be you in who Christ has called you to be. Okay? For a follower of Jesus, the purpose of you being given these gifts and talents is for you to share them with the people around us so that God gets the glory. God, that people will see God in us wherever we go. Serving people, sharing them, blessing them, right? We've been blessed to be a blessing. This is how our lives look like. When we choose to respond in faith to the message of Christ, when our lives are changed and transformed for His glory, this is how our lives look like when we choose to respond in faith and by being part of community, where we grow together with the people around us for God's glory. This is what it looks like when we respond in faith by sharing our gifts and our talents with the people around us. We bless them because we have been blessed to be a blessing for His glory. So here's the question for us today. Do you want to be one with God through Jesus? Do you want to be one with God through Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus into your heart? Have you received the invitation by Jesus? So I'll give you 3 minutes to talk that through with the person next to you. And then we'll come back and we'll respond in worship. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father. We thank You for this time that we have come together as Your children. We thank You for Your great love. We thank You for the reconciliation that we have through Christ Jesus. Father, we were all once alienated. We were all separated at some point in our lives from You. But now we have been reconciled back through Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. So today, Father, help us to remain grounded, to remain steadfast in our faith, not shifting from the hope of the gospel. May we continue to be reconciled to You, Lord God, holy in Your sight and blameless in Your presence, Lord God. Strengthen each and every one of us to stand firm in our faith, unwavering and confident in Your promises. Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.